On this episode of Brookdale Beat, Tom Brennan starts to talk with Stephen Fowler, instructional designer at the Teaching and Learning Center, about artificial intelligence, where it came from, different types of AI, and how students are currently using it.
Welcome to our look at the people, organizations, and initiatives within Brookdale Community College and beyond. This is Brookdale Beat.
Stephen Fowler, thanks very much for coming on by today for Brookdale Beat.
Thank you for inviting me.
You know, if anybody has ever seen The Office out there, have you ever seen The Office?
Yes.
Okay. There's a character in The Office called Creed. There's at one point in time when Creed asks, I think it was Michael, hey, who's your worm guy? Because, like, you know, there's a guy that does certain things for me. And so for me, my AI guy is you, Stephen Fowler. So I thank you for coming in, because that's what we're not going to be talking about The Office very much, but we will be talking about AI. And so I'm glad you're able to come on in.
I'm honored to be your guy.
And now, you know, so now we have to make up a hat for you, I guess, too. You know, and one of the reasons why you're my AI guy is because I know that you have done like 24 workshops in the TLC, about AI. So I think I'll call you an expert. I think you certainly are an expert, on AI. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today.
I know enough to be dangerous.
That's fun. That's a good one. I like that.
I like to roll.
The thing about AI, and we'll start off with this, is I feel that, you know, maybe in the past like 2 years or so, all of a sudden it happened. It's like there's a big boom of AI that happened 2 years ago or 3 years ago. But it's been around longer than people actually think. And there are also different kinds of AI out there as well. So let's first talk about, I mean, there was discussion, I think, in the 50s about AI, actually at Dartmouth, at a college, about AI. But as we know it today, how long is that? I'm guessing it's been more than 2 years that AI has been around.
I imagine our comp sci faculty could talk in depth about like the history of it, right? Because I think everyone that's in computers is really excited at where we're at right now. It's been a part of our digital existence for quite some time, and even before digital. I mean, like Greek philosophers way back in the day, there were inventions where automations were right. The water fills a bucket, the bucket drops, rope's pulled, something happens, right? We've had automations for a while. We've been focused on it. We've even dreamt, like Pinocchio is a story about, you know, artificial intelligence, right? Pinocchio is sentience. So, I mean, we've been dreaming about this for a long time. It's been a part of our imagination. And that's the part of it that really gets me excited, is like we've been talking about. I grew up on Star Wars. So, you know, Luke Skywalker working with R2-D2 and C-3PO is like part of my childhood. And I have always imagined that being my future, you know, to have a robotic counterpart to like kind of ask difficult questions to. So like, yeah, having, you know, GPT in my pocket is kind of a dream come true.
And since you can't be from a galaxy far, far away, the next best thing you can do is have AI in your pocket.
Yes. So. It feels, I mean, if you have Sora, I mean, you could make yourself Luke Skywalker, right?
I don't know if I'd want to be Luke Skywalker.
Who would you be?
That's an off mic conversation. So Sora, you mentioned Sora. I don't know what Sora is. I know what Siri is, which I guess is also AI,
right?
To a particular degree,
right?
But those are types of generative AI programs, I'll say, right? Would that be an accurate way to put it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What makes generative AI different than the other flavors of AI?
Sure. So, I mean, as you could say, calculator, right, is like a basic kind of AI, or social media with its algorithms. It reacts to certain things. It crunches data. It makes decisions. What generative AI does is it takes data that, you know, maybe a calculator would have or social media algorithms would have, and different automations and stuff, but it creates something original. So it's creating something.
Okay.
Out of just data. It's partly creative, which makes it unique.
Okay. So yeah, so it's not saying, you know, it knows 8 times 8 is 64, but you can't say, you know, make it yellow. You can't tell a calculator, make the 64 yellow.
Correct.
But generative AI can do that for you.
It can do all of these things.
Yeah.
Right.
The curve has gone up since generative AI has been around in what we know it as the past, you know, couple of years, right? why do you think that's such a turning point from where we were a couple of years ago? Like, what made generative AI that kind of boom happen with generative AI?
Right. Well, I think when OpenAI released its, I think it was like a model 3.0. I think that was a really big leap from what they had had. I think it's the accessibility part of it. You could go to a website that was free. You could sign up, you could start using it, right? And they knew they had something very special, and it was far beyond anything else that was out there. And it was what we had imagined as generative AI would be for a while. You could ask it a question of any profession or, you know, topic, and it would be able to spit something back. Like a maybe even comparable to like a human who is an expert in that field, right? You could go to GPT and you could ask an expert in agriculture, an expert in mathematics, you could expert in history, and it would be able to answer all these difficult questions in one chat space.
Right. Although I'm sure that a lot of our faculty are yelling at whatever they're listening to this podcast and say, it's not all right.
Correct. It has hallucinations.
Yes, right. Yes.
Yeah. And it doesn't replace, I would never say it replaces human. It doesn't. It would not replace a human being. A professor in history cannot be replaced, at least not right now, with generative AI.
Careful.
Yeah.
We'll get to where your office is, but there are a lot of faculty right around your office. So you may want to close your door when you walk in after we publish this.
Specifically the history faculty.
So. They are right nice. There, actually. Yeah. So speaking of faculty, what do you think, how do you think folks who teach in a classroom, how do you think this can change the way they educate folks or maybe even use it in the classroom itself?
I think that's the answer. I feel like people are warming up to that idea. There was a lot of resistance at first, and there was even talks of like blocking access to GPT at the college. And we weren't the only institution having that conversation. There was a lot of fear at first when it came out, but what I'm seeing now is, you know, hey, this tool is kind of helpful. I'm asking it questions, and it does know the answers to a lot of these difficult things. And I could see how students would, you know, if they had 24/7 access to this, how it could, you know, get them up to speed. It could meet them where they are and get them, you know, get them on board so we could have those synchronous activities. It's adaptable to the user's needs. So it could explain any number of something, a difficult topic. It could explain it to a 5-year-old and differently than it would explain it to a 10-year-old or a 20-year-old or an expert in the field. So it adapts. It's an adaptive learning tool.
Yeah. The one people, so when you were talking about people who are reluctant to it, I remember back when Star Wars was out and about how when video games consoles at the home were accessible as opposed to just being in the arcades, I remember the parents talking about how it was going to rot your brain. Okay. And here we are 45 years after the introduction of Atari and ColecoVision. And if you're that old, you're nodding your head, right? Is your brain rotted? And I think that a lot of times people come in and say, well, this new technology is going to rot your brain. And I don't know if that's going to be the case because, I mean, as far as I can tell, my brain's not rotted because I played Pitfall for 5 hours on a Saturday. But also because people may think that students are just going to use AI to solve all their problems, which I think, to your point, it's going to help them more. So I think it may be a better idea for folks to embrace that. And to start to use it in a way that you could talk that talk with your students.
Right. You know? And also fully admit there are going to be a lot of students that are going to abuse this tool. Mm-hmm. They're going to use it just for the answer. And that's the only time. That's the only way they're ever going to use it. There are going to be people that are going to do that. And there's I'm not so focused on that. I feel like the positives outweigh the negatives in a teaching and learning instance because you have this teaching tool where you can ask it any type of question and it can kind of change it. The way it answers based on what you need. So the opportunities are greater than the downsides of AI.
I was just thinking about as you were saying this too, that a student can get the answer and maybe a good thing for someone to say to a student that is just using it for the answer to say, take a second and type in, how did you get to that answer?
Right.
Which then can help explain, and that student can then read how they got to that. So they're getting they're putting the cart before the horse, but they're getting the whole thing. It's just in reverse order.
And it's so good and clear at doing something like that. A task like that, it loves AI generative AI because It will explain it step by step. It won't get impatient. We're like, why aren't you understanding this? It will just keep on answering your question, however many times you ask it.
Right.
You could ask it for metaphors on the topic, and it will come up with some really great ways to explain something.
Right. Right.
It's a great teaching tool.
Yeah. Stephen, if you could do me a favor and hang on a little bit so we could talk a little bit more on our episode next week. Thanks.
I'm Keelan, a multimedia production student at Brookdale. Thanks for joining Brookdale Public Radio as we shine a light on Brookdale Community College, where here will get you there. Find more links, information, and listen to this and other episodes on 90.5thenight.org/brookdalebeat.